It's coming. Maybe you've seen the trailer.
Welcome, welcome. The time has come to select one courageous young man and woman for the honor of representing District 12 in the 74th annual Hunger Games.
The Hunger Games is due in theaters next month. The book, the first in a trilogy, has spent over 3 years on the New York Times bestseller list, becoming a must-read for young adults who plowed through Harry Potter and then Twilight. And The Hunger Games is much darker than both. It's set in the distant future, a dystopia, which I explained to my niece was sort of the opposite of a utopia. In place of North America, a futuristic totalitarian capital ruling over 12 impoverished, almost medieval districts. To prevent rebellion, an annual celebration, the Reaping, in which a young man and a young woman are chosen by lottery from each district to fight to the death while the country watches on television. It's Survivor meets Lord of the Flies. Really dark stuff. Children kill each other. So why are so many people hooked on The Hunger Games? Tanya Cochran is an English professor at Union College. She and fellow professor Jill Morstad made The Hunger Games required reading for their English 100 reading and writing course. And she joins us from NET Radio in Lincoln, Nebraska. Tanya, welcome.
Thank you, Robin.
So why Hunger Games?
Why not Hunger Games?
Yeah.
It's time. It's time for Katniss.
And Katniss, we should say, is the protagonist. The book is narrated by this 16-year-old Katniss Everdeen, who lives in District 12 with her mother and 12-year-old sister Prim. They're both eligible for the Reaping, and when Prim is chosen, Katniss takes her place. But, you know, what did you see in the writing? What in particular did you see in the literature that you thought would make it good for a course?
It was last summer, early in the summer, actually, that my colleague at Nebraska Wesleyan, Megan Winchell, told me that she had just finished reading this trilogy, partly because her son, who was, I believe, 12 at the time, maybe 11, he had read it. And as a result of those two reading it, Megan convinced me to read it. And even as I was reading, I was taking notes. I'm always thinking about how can I tap into what's happening in popular culture, what's relevant, especially to young people. How can I bring that into the classroom and use that? So some of the topics that came up for me as I was reading, I immediately thought of race issues. I thought of gender issues, of political issues, you know, the role of government, issues related to ethics and spectacle, and of course, class issues. It just immediately was an extremely rich text that I knew I could use in a classroom to raise issues that were relevant to students' lives, but also to the lives that they will have when they leave college, when they become citizens
well,
in the world.
It's funny you mention that because when different news stories come along, some of the presidential candidate debates, different sporting events, I find myself thinking, oh, that's so Hunger Games. You know, it does.
Yes.
It feels like it taps into so much that's going on in the culture. But parts of it I found difficult to read. Parts of it made me angry. What are your students saying to you about it?
Some of them were very resistant to reading, partly because of the violence. And we talked openly about violence, how it is used in other texts. I teach on a faith-based campus, so there were discussions about the violence in the Bible compared to violence in the Hunger Games. There were many conversations with those students about how old is old enough to read such things. And the reality of violence, not just through media, you know, fictive media, but what about the realities of violence that we see through the news or that we see through documentary film about Iraq, Afghanistan, etc.? You know, how do we deal with violence that's in our face? We can't escape it.
Well, and the author, Suzanne Collins, who's very private and has not done a lot of interviews, in what she has said, she's made it very clear that this, for her, is about war. I guess she was flipping through the
yes.
channels when she got the idea. She went from a reality television competition to Iraq war footage. And mm-hmm. she has said, you know, look, if people don't want to think about children and war, we send children to war all the time, young people. And so here it is in your face. What else did your students say about that or about the role of the media? Because Suzanne Collins has also been critical of the media. So did they have comments about the media and war?
Not so much about the media itself, like news coverage, but they definitely picked up on the connections between the filming of the games and reality television. Some reactions fell along gender lines. There were many female students who were, of course, very interested in the love aspect of the story. The male students in the class fell along lines of being very interested in the combat and strategy and survival and how that those ideas in the Hunger Games are linked to video games. So it was very interesting to watch as many of these young men realized that the games that they play regularly are in many ways as violent or in some cases more violent than the reading of the Hunger Games. Yet they had this reaction to the Hunger Games almost as if they were fathers, saying that this isn't appropriate for young people. They should not be reading this. And I said, well, you know, what about what you read, what you play, what you watch on television? How is that different? And so it really made a lot of them stop and think about the choices that they were making and the forms of entertainment that they were exposing themselves to with no thought. So if nothing else, I really feel like each student has a better grasp on their own decision-making process.
You know, and when we think about, and I came to it the same way you did. My 14-year-old niece read it, then my sister read it, and she told me about it, and I read it. And I was thinking that when we read Lord of the Flies, you kind of understood that a group of kids would not be put on an island so that they would end up, practically cannibalizing each other.
Yeah.
But now people are put on islands. I mean, yes. In their world, you're reading The Hunger Games in the context of things like this sort of happening.
Absolutely. One student in particular explored the connection between The Hunger Games and child soldiers. And we hear quite a bit about Uganda and the children who are taken from their homes into the army there and often committing these heinous acts of violence under the pressure of their own survival. So the book, while it certainly operates on a mythological level or plane, it also operates on a very literal plane for some children around the world. So it raises consciousness, even if it is fiction, even if it is dystopic and it's set in a future that we have not reached. It is both real and symbolic at the same time.
That's Tanya Cochran, Associate Professor of English at Union College in Lincoln, Nebraska, talking about Suzanne Collins' book, The Hunger Games. The movie is coming to theaters, and Tanya used the book in her classes. Tanya, thanks so much.
Thank you, Robin.